Hello, everyone. Welcome along to the Fantasy Football Beat, a RotoViz podcast, brought to you by MyBookie and Draft. Each week on the show, I'm joined by an NFL beat reporter to break down one of the biggest games of the week. On this week's show, my guest is Jana Thomas of The Falcoholic. We'll be talking about the Falcons' trip to face the New York Jets this week and talking about the key players and key matchups that we expect to decide this game. We'll be talking, obviously, about the struggles of the Atlanta Falcons so far, how that has gone. We'll touch a little bit on the Jets. We'll be looking at the injury report. We'll be seeing how the Falcons possibly can turn it around and get their season on track after what has been, overall, a very, very disappointing and struggling start to the season for them. My name is Colm Kelly, and you can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. And after I talk with Jenna, I'll take a few minutes to recap what we discuss and use some of the apps on rotoviz.com to take a deeper dive into it from a fantasy football perspective. For those of you who don't know, Rotoviz is a sports data and analytics site that publishes over 1,000 articles per year and has a suite of more than 20 proprietary apps. And I'll be using, as I mentioned in a moment, some of those awesome apps to dive a little bit deeper into this game. I highly urge you to check out rotoviz.com. I mentioned the tough start to the season for the Falcons, obviously losing to the Patriots this past week on the road. They go on the road again this week to face the New York Jets. And in this one, they are still favourites on the road. The Jets, who have been one of the surprises of the season, a lot of people have them pegged as that team that would have the first overall draft pick as it comes to draft time next year. But they have had a solid start to the season, a lot more impressive than most people would have expected. But that leaves them as home underdogs still as they face the Falcons, who are trying to get this season back on track. The Falcons are a -4.5 favourite for this one. The money line is -220 in their favour, +175 for the Jets, and the over under, and this is a medium one for this week, over under 46 points. So there should be some fantasy points put on the board this week, and I'm looking forward to breaking that down after I talk to Jana about the fantasy implications. We'll be talking about how the teams match up and how things will go in just a moment. So those are the odds with mybookie.ag. They are one of the official sponsors here of the podcast. They are the official bookmaker of RotoViz Radio, and with them, if you sign up, use my promo code RotoVizBeat as you sign up and put in your first deposit, they'll match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus. So all you have to do while signing up, enter that code RotoBeat as the promo code, and they will hook you up with a 50% bonus. So get on board with that today. It is mybookie.ag, and they are my preferred bookmaker when I place my wager. So have a little fun this weekend, get that extra bonus, and see if you can decide this game or some of the other outcomes of the other games. Maybe you want to do a little parlay and see how you get on, or maybe hit on some of the props. So let's see what Jana has to think about the game, how she thinks it's going to all shake out, and then we'll get into it a little bit more from a fantasy perspective after that. So let's get to the beat. So delighted to be joined on the show now by Jana Thomas of Falcoholic. Obviously, we're covering the Falcons' trip this week to face the New York Jets up in New York, and they have had a slow start to the season for the Falcons. They now sit at 3-3, third in the NFC South with six games played, and they kind of got demolished by the Patriots on the road this past week. So it's just not been what we had expected. They were pretty much shut down again in New England. Like I mentioned, they were 0-5 on third downs in the first half and 13 points left on the board with those red zone attempts with the blocked field goal, a missed field goal, and then the failures to score on third and fourth down at the 1 yard line. So it's been a tough week, and I've seen there's been a lot of reflection down there in Atlanta by the team, but they're trying their best to say they're looking forward, but it's I guess we'll start the show by looking back. What was your biggest takeaway from that New England Patriots loss?
You know, I think that the biggest takeaway is just how different the play calling is this season. I think that, you know, Kyle Shanahan's strength is really like figuring out ways to maximize his player skills and put them in positions to take advantage of matchups. And I think that that's really a nuance to play calling that Steve Sarkisian doesn't have at this point. Maybe it'll come with time, but I think also it's just a particular talent of Kyle's. So I think that that's a big part of the reason for the drop off.
Yeah, and we're gonna get into the play call and style in just a little bit more in a moment. But before we get into that, we're gonna look a little bit through the injury reports for both teams. And luckily for the Falcons, who I'm gonna go into second, they aren't too banged up at the moment. The Jets a little bit more so. Robbie Anderson on Wednesday. We're recording this early Thursday, so this here is the Wednesday practice report. Limited was Robbie Anderson, but he is expected to play this week. Then they had a couple of players that did not practice. Jordan Leggett, the tight end, with a knee injury. Brandon Shell, the tackle, neck injury. Buster Screen with a concussion. It is thought that he's going to miss at least 1 week with that concussion. We'll see how that shakes out, if he can clear concussion protocol as the week progresses. Mohammed Wilkerson of the defensive line, shoulder and foot issues. He did not practice either. So the Jets have a couple of names there that this week may miss out. So it's obviously that's positive for the Falcons. But as I mentioned, their side of the ball, they haven't had that many injuries. But this week, Tevin Coleman, as of Wednesday, was a limited participant with a knee injury he picked up against the Patriots. Deion Jones, limited with an ankle injury. And then Duke Riley, obviously, is going to miss the rest of the season on IR. Jordan Tripp is in the concussion protocol. We'll see, can he clear that? And then Courtney Upshaw, defensive tackle, ankle, he was limited. So with the guys that I mentioned there for the Falcons, obviously Duke Riley is going to miss out, but with the other guys, you expect them all to suit up, or obviously you have to wait and see if Tripp can get through the concussion protocol?
Right. Tripp, we won't know. I mean, concussions are just too hard to predict because everybody reacts to them differently. The other guys, it's usually a good sign for the Falcons if they're limited on Wednesday, they're usually good enough to go. If they're even, you know, held out on Wednesday but able to practice some on Thursday and Friday, they'll play on Sunday. So I think that with those guys being limited, I think that they'll all be on the field.
Yeah, and when we obviously I mentioned there for both teams, it is pretty impressive when you get to this stage of the season to for the injury reports, you know, at the early stage of the week to be as low down at that. So there's a lot of games this week where, you know, you have 11, 12 names on the injury report. So both these teams pretty healthy, which is a positive for them. You know, we mentioned the play column, but we're going to talk true at all now, but the loss of Kyle Shanahan obviously is one of the key issues for this team this season and how they have been affected. It looks, you know, at this point, the team's trying to say it hasn't been much of an effect, but there's really no way around it. Last year, the offense averaged 30 points per game. This year, the offense has only reached 30 points in one of their six games, and that was when they hit exactly 30 against the Lions. So it just, it hasn't worked out. Has there been any real keys as to why? Obviously, the play caller is different, but any other reasons that it might be the case?
You know, there were a couple of weeks there where a starting right tackle, Ryan Schrader, was out, and that created some instability along the offensive line. You could tell this would have been during the Lions and the Bills games. And you could tell that Matt Ryan was really unsettled in the pocket. They've got a new guy in at right guard who's gotten progressively better as the season has gone on. But having the right tackle out for a couple of weeks, I think, did impact the offensive production. And I also think that it's just a matter of the offense, you know, not really being terribly balanced in some games. And so I think that that's created some opportunities for defenses to pressure Matt Ryan more. And then, you know, aside from just the play calling, you also have issues with execution. We've seen a ton of drops. We have seen, you know, guys, you know, miscommunications on the field, a lot of penalties. That's been another big factor. There's been a lot of undisciplined ball played. And so I think that those are all factors also. But I really think that the main issue is the play calling and some of the personnel decisions that Sarkisian is making, you know, giving Austin Hooper, say, 9 targets and targeting Julio Jones like 5 times is probably not your best course of action. And I know what teams do to take Julio out of the equation. You know, they'll always cheat a safety over, and a lot of times a linebacker too. I mean, you have to really work hard to contain him. So I get that, but that means the other guys are getting open, and so you have to take advantage of that. And that's what I don't really see happening.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of stuff this week about the percentage on first, second, and even third downs where they've been going to Julio, you know, a higher majority than they did last. Well, on first down, second down, it had regressed, but on third down, obviously, had gone up. And last year on third down, there was a lot of players being targeted, whereas this year it's pretty much Sanu and Jones, or else Freeman and Hooper. So there's not a huge spread around, and obviously defenses are being able to key in on those guys. Did you think just with Shanahan, he was thinking that far ahead with more options being used, you know, sprinkling the ball around and trying to keep the defense more unbalanced on the other side?
I do, because I know how Kyle called games. Kyle would, he was always 2 steps ahead, I guess is the easiest way to say it. Like, it was more of a chess match for him. And so he would always be 2 steps ahead of the defense and thinking, you know, who am I going to target? How am I going to take advantage of them? And so, again, you know, I think that he's just kind of a uniquely talented offensive mind. And I think that Sark could be fine, but I think that he has, you know, he's just having some growing pains at this level.
Yeah, so obviously now they have dropped 3 straight games and they're heading on the road for a second week in a row. So facing the New York Jets, the Jets have been one of the more interesting stories for the season. You know, we all thought that they were probably going to be the worst team in the NFL to start the season, and that's obviously not turned out to be that way in fruition. The season did take a little bit of a downturn on Sunday where it looked like they were going to pick up another win against the Dolphins. They ended up losing 31-28 to Miami. Josh McCown threw an interception on the final drive to seal their fate, you know. So they lost a 14-point lead in that fourth quarter, and obviously that wasn't what they had planned. But they have struggled then on the defensive side of the ball to contain both the run and the pass this season. As the season has gone on, they've got better against the run. So Getting pressure on the quarterback has been a real issue for the Jets. Do you think this offensive line can really hold up and keep the Jets out again? The Jets team, as I mentioned, struggling to get pressure on the quarterback. Is this where maybe this Sarkisian offense can get back on track, or get on track rather, for the first time this season?
You know, I'm hoping so. I mean, it is a good opportunity for them to do so. The only issue is the Patriots defense is bad too. You know, Matt Ryan was the first quarterback all season to not throw for 300 yards against them.
Yeah, we thought
and
last
so
week was the week.
Yeah, really did. And so I think that, you know, one of my concerns with this Falcons team is just that they are, I think, in their own heads about it. And so, you know, I think it's going to come down to whether or not they can overcome these last three losses mentally. If they can, then I think that they'll bounce back. If they can't shake that off mentally, then I don't think it matters who they're playing.
Yeah, and obviously, when I had on the RV32 series for RotoViz prior to the season, I had you on, and pretty much anytime I need to get Falcons information, you're my go-to on it. But we talked about, in that episode, about the speed the defense possesses. That was one of the kind of keys we touched on. How do you think they match up against the Jets offense? Austin Seferian Jenkins has looked very impressive since coming back from his suspension. The wide receivers, I mentioned Anderson being on the injury report, but he is expected to play. With him, Curley and Kearse, they've all been pretty serviceable. And then Josh McCown is... well, he's always been a veteran quarterback who can pretty much have very, very solid games for three quarters of it, and then prone to those big errors. So we mentioned Duke Riley is going to miss quite a considerable time with that meniscus tear. And, you know, there's been some miscommunications in the defense, individual errors this season, but they have been better than I think a lot of people realize. They've allowed 23 points only twice this season and held the other four opponents to 20 points or less. So I think they're pretty capable of holding this Jets defense at bay. And have you been impressed with how they've done as a whole? You know, they are putting the team in positions to win, and it just hasn't been done by the offense.
Yeah, I've actually been really impressed. I don't think that anybody expected going into the season that games were going to come down to, you know, the defense trying to win it for the offense. I think everybody expected the offense to carry the defense again. But last year, this defense was, you know, they had four rookies starting. And so now those guys are on their second season. I think that they've all taken a step forward. With Vic Beasley back on the field, that certainly helps after that hamstring tear. So, you know, they should get Courtney Finch, should be fine. But Josh McCown is probably playing the best ball of his life this season. He's actually been pretty impressive. Finally won a game in the Brown Stadium. You know, he was one of the quarterbacks there for a while and never won a game there. And then he, you know, finally won one with the Jets, which was kind of funny. But yeah, so I think that, you know, they should be able to keep this Jets offense at bay. But I think that Josh McCown deserves credit for the way he's playing, and I don't think it's going to be an easy game for this defense.
The Jets have struggled to get to the quarterback. It's been a little bit of an issue as well for Atlanta, and with Beasley kind of boom or bust so far this season. He had a major season last year, but with this season and how they've kind of struggled on the defensive line, can you see anyone else that's in that mix beside him that can, you know, boost up the opportunity for Beasley and this defense to make some impact this week, get to Josh McCown?
You know, I think that the plan is looking longer term. I think the plan is for Tack McKinley to be that guy. I just think it's going to take him a little while to develop. You know, he missed most of the offseason recovering from offseason shoulder surgery. And so I think that that maybe slowed down his development a little bit. And so he's coming along, but he's just not quite there yet. And they have some guys who can get pressure, you know, from other places along the line, like Adrian Claiborne has been able to, Courtney Upshaw has been able to, Devondre Campbell, as, you know, one of the linebackers, he's been able to. And so, you know, they have guys who can come in from elsewhere in the formation and get pressure too. And I think that that's what they'd like to do. But yeah, it is. Beasley missed a few weeks with that hamstring tear. Yeah. I think that pass rush was much worse without him. So at least having him back on the field should help some.
And obviously then, any other key areas that you expect to impact this match that we haven't really touched on as of yet?
Yeah, I think special teams is a big factor. Special teams play against the Dolphins and against the Patriots has been terrible. Had a couple of really badly botched punts against the Dolphins. Matt Bryant missed two field goals, which he typically doesn't miss. One was blocked, and then he, you know, missed the other one against the Patriots. And so I think that special teams play, you know, really can't be overlooked either, because it's been a liability the past couple of weeks, and just a lot of mistakes there that they've got to clean up.
Yeah, and that's interesting that you mentioned that, because last week or 2 weeks ago, I talked with a beat reporter for the Jets, and they said about the Jets at that point of the season that I think they were in the top five for special teams and their production on the season. So it's going to be interesting to see who wins that battle this week and see how the game goes. Obviously, the Falcons have been pretty impressive on the road, and I want to get your prediction now for the game. Can they pick up a win on the road this week up in New York?
Yeah, I'm a little bit concerned just hearing some of the post-game comments on Sunday. I think that this team is in their own heads, and so I don't think that they do bounce back this week. I think that the Jets pull this off, and I think it'll be close. I'm saying 17-14.
And with that, you mentioned the team possibly being in their own heads. People talk about the Super Bowl hangover, and a lot of teams say it's just fiction, but it does look like with the combination of the Super Bowl hangover and Kyle Shanahan moving to the 49ers that this team really is having a kind of a psychological struggle at this moment in time.
Yeah, I think that it definitely is. I think that this team came into the season expecting that they would be contenders, and things have not gone that way, and I don't think that they were mentally prepared for that. So I think that that has been an issue.
And obviously, with them being contenders, for the rest of the season, do you expect them to be contenders for this division, to be a contender in the playoffs and maybe beyond? Do you think it can be turned around, or do you think this is just something that's going to go down as a lost season for the Falcons?
I think that it can be turned around. I just think that they're going to have to get out of their own heads and do it. I mean, I think that, no matter what, the division's pretty up and down. The Saints are kind of rolling now. They've won 4 in a row, but I think that the Saints are, Saints defense is not very good, and I think that that will catch up with them at some point. The Panthers are very up and down, and the Bucks, I don't even think that they have a sack yet this season. That defense is not going to let that team succeed this year. So I think that the division's still wide open, and I think that once you get to the playoffs, anything can happen. I think that that would be a big confidence boost for them. So, I think that I think it's possible that they'll turn it around, but they've just got to actually do it.
Yeah, I agree with you on all those points, and this division is definitely one of the most open ones still. A lot of the teams have a lot to prove as the season goes on, but this week will have a huge bearing on that, and if the Falcons can get a win on the road, it could really kickstart their season moving forward. As always, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, Jenna, and all the listeners can follow you on Twitter at Jenna Thomas. As always, it's my pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Jenna Thomas of The Falcoholic. Make sure you check her out on Twitter at Jenna Thomas. In a moment, I'm going to dive a little bit deeper into what we discussed using some of the RotoViz apps today. I'm going to be looking at some of the air yards, and the season is already here, but of course it is still a fantastic set time to sign up for a RotoViz NFL pass. You can get one now for a 30% discount. This is for listeners of the podcast only, and it's available through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of our NFL tools and content, and best of all, it supports the pod. So get that 30% off just for you now for listening to the show and the NFL pass, and it is at rotoviz.com/podcast. So let's get into it using some of the apps there up on rotoviz.com to break down this game. I'm going to use the Air Yards app today. I'm going to use the Buy Low report as well for a few players that I think could have some upcoming big weeks here as we move forward in the season. Talked mainly about the Jets 2 weeks ago now on the Week 6 edition. I covered the Patriots and the Jets and kind of talked in-depth about what I thought off the Jets in that one, so I'm going to kind of go briefly through them on this one, not a huge amount. Obviously, as I mentioned there, Josh McCown with Jenna, when we talked, Josh McCown has had a very nice season. He's been putting up solid fantasy points, so I wouldn't be too afraid of slotting him into your lineups even after he threw that very, very mind-bogglingly bad interception in the fourth quarter last week. But, I think he still has the value there this week. When we look, though, at the buy-low machine, it's showing up the New York Jets RBs as a possible candidate there over the next 3 to 4 weeks to have a nice bit of time there at the position. They have Atlanta this week, Buffalo the following week, and then Tampa Bay followed by a bye. So it's projecting them as the fifth best matchup for the RBs over that there period of 3 weeks. So definitely an interesting perspective. But the thing with the Jets RBs at the minute, it's very tough to just really differentiate as to who is the main option there, who is the starter. It looks like with Forte back healthy that he's going to get that opportunity again. I just find it very hard to trust him. I have Bilal Powell in a lot of my teams, and it's kind of 50-50 week to week to see who gets the carries. Obviously, Elijah McGuire is going to get limited work with the two of them healthy. It was Forte's first game back from injury last week. He led the running backs in snaps and touches, so it's likely that it's going to be an opportunity for him this week. The Falcons defense has over the last two seasons given up quite a large number of points to pass catching running backs, but again,
I expect that to be split between Forte and Powell, so it makes it a little less appealing there. And with the Bailo machine projecting it to be a good opportunity for one of the running backs over the next couple of weeks, it's hard to really factor it in with the two of them there, really siphoning. It's not even a case of one is a first down, second down back, one's a pass catching back. They both kind of do all those things together, and neither of them getting a lot of, you know, guaranteed workload as the weeks go forward here. So the Falcons allowed a receiving touchdown to a running back last week against the Patriots. They've allowed 3 on the season and 5 in total, and they're giving up 4.5 yards per carry. So it's a good spot for either of the Jets running backs. Forte likely to get the bigger workload this week, but between him and Powell, I expect one of them to have a pretty solid week. And we're looking then at the other options. You know, Austin Tavarian Jenkins, he was my star play in that game against the Patriots, and you know, I thought he should have 2 touchdowns. One of those obviously was called back, so he had a touchdown there, touchdown last week again, so he's on a nice little run here. I think he has had 3 weeks in a row with a touchdown, did catch one against the Cleveland Browns as well. So another player that I think could be a spot start this week is Robbie Anderson. You know, at the wide receiver position, he has 17 targets over the last 2 weeks, caught 7 of them for 111 yards and a touchdown. So they have that option there. So I think, you know, it could be a contrarian stack this week to go with Josh McCown and Robbie Anderson. But the Jets just this week are a team that I don't really have a huge amount of faith in as to how they are going to do in this game. It's been a case of it being spread around, as I mentioned, with the wide receivers being serviceable this season. You know, you could put them in a flex if you're really in a spot this week. There is a lot of teams on bye in week 8. So we'll see how it goes. But out of the Jets, I'd be looking at ASJ followed by Josh McCown as an option, then followed by Robbie Anderson. And then, you know, again, RBs this week are limited, so you could slot either of those Jets running backs in there. And obviously I'm a Bilal Powell guy, but I think it's more likely Forte gets the work this week. Moving over to the Falcons, we'll look into it, and I'm going to start off again. I mentioned the Buy Low machine, a very interesting app, and it's up and running now on the website. You can check in, put in different parameters, what you want to do, but you can check through all the positions. It gives you kind of a strength of schedule, gives you a nice graphic up in front of you, and gives you the target. If you want to pick, you can pick as many weeks as you want as the target weeks, but overall, mainly I slot in a 3 or 4 week sample size. So for this show, I've been doing between week 8 and 11. And looking at that, looking at the tight end position, I mentioned with the Jets at the running back position, it's popping up here for the Atlanta Falcons to have a nice little run here. And obviously Austin Hooper, the main tight end there. They have the Jets this week who have been susceptible to the tight end. They have Carolina coming up, Dallas, and then Seattle. So Seattle, obviously the tough one in that matchup against the tight end, but the other three look to be a nice run. So Cooper, somebody maybe in the next 2 or 3 weeks that you can use there. Slot into your DFS lineups if you need. So looking through then, as we move away from the buy low report, looking through the rest of the team, Matt Ryan, this does provide another opportunity for him to get on track. The Jets have allowed at least 2 touchdown passes in 5 of their 7 games, including 8 touchdown passes in their last 3 games. So, you know, you have to keep in mind that those games were a combination of Jay Cutler and Matt Moore, and the other one was against the Browns with DeShone Kizer and Kevin Hogan. So, you know, it's been a tough situation for Matt Ryan this year, but I think, you know, I mentioned last week when I talked to Jan, it was the opportunity for them to get back on track against the Patriots. But, you know, if it doesn't happen this week, it's not going to happen all season long. I think it'll be time to just cash out on this offense. So the Jets have defended the run a lot better over the last couple of weeks. So I think that Matt Ryan will be on case to put this ball through the air as much as possible to try and get points on the board. So I think this is another week where he is a viable start at quarterback. And I think, you know, if he doesn't do it this week, it's time to shut Matt Ryan down as a fantasy component throughout the rest of the season. So I'm on board with Matt Ryan this coming week. I mentioned they're tough against the run, and obviously that's not good for the running backs for the Atlanta Falcons. But, you know, Freeman's getting the bulk of the carries on the ground. He's looked very good this season. Looks like he deserves every penny of that contract that he got this past offseason. But the one that I'm interested in this week isn't Devontae Freeman. He's going to get his work this week. He's going to get his attempts on the ground. He might get some goal line carries. But this Jets team, where they have been susceptible is through the air, as I mentioned. And the Jets have allowed 10 plus points to secondary running backs 4 times this season. So, you know, pass catching running backs, you're getting the ball out of the backfield. And Coleman has averaged nearly 10 points a game prior to last week, which was a lower performance from him. So I think that there's an opportunity there for Coleman to be the highest scoring running back out of these two guys this coming week. And with that, that makes him my star draft player of the week. And I've been plugging it the last couple of weeks. If you're playing on draft, obviously you're trying to get the snake draft format with the best ball scoring system. You're trying to get the best values. And I try and hit those kind of mid to late round values to really spur you on, push you up those draft ranks as the week goes on, as the games progress. And I think Tevin Coleman's the guy to do that for you this coming week. So you can join a Draft League. You can download the app anytime. Just search for Draft in the App Store and join the game in minutes, or play right from your computer at playdraft.com. And for a limited time only, if you sign up, you get a free entry into a Draft app when you make your first deposit. All you have to do is use the promo code RVRadio. Play for real money for free by just using that promo code RVRadio with your first deposit. So it's no salary caps. Play in a real-life snake draft along with your friends. Like you do in a season-long league, you can play with your friends in this. You can have leagues from any number of players upwards. The draft starts from only $1 each, so there really is one for everyone, and you can compete, have a little bit of fun. It is a lot of fun on a weekly basis, and I've enjoyed giving out my plays of the week here so far, because pretty much out of the seven calls previously, I think six of them have really, really been spot on, and we'll see how I go this week with Tevin Coleman, but he's somebody in my dynasty leagues and my best ball leagues this week, and in my daily fantasy I will be slotting in with confidence. I expect him to have a nice week this week against the Jets. So that's Tevin Coleman, my play of the week for draft. And I mentioned Hooper as somebody who could have possibly a nice couple of weeks here coming up. It's just so boom and bust so far this season for him, up and down each and every week, and I find it hard to trust him. He had that monster game against the Bears, and it's just not... I own him in a couple of dynasty leagues, and I won't be slotting him in this week into those, even with the buys in week 8. Hooper might have a big week this week, but unfortunately for me, if he does, he won't be in any of my lineup, so I would be just reluctant to put him in this week. A player that I am interested to see how he does this week is Mohamed Sanu. He's somebody who, coming back from his injury this past week, he had 6 receptions for 65 yards on a season-high 10 targets. He had that hamstring issue, so he's back in there. But what the wide receiver count for that game, the snap count, looking at the snap report, Mohamed Sanu 51, Julio Jones 50, and then we had Tyler Gabriel next with 35, and then all the way down to Justin Hardy 9, and then Andre Roberts 4. So there's a big drop-off after those first three guys of Sanu, Jones, and Gabriel. But I think Sanu has a safe floor this week. He probably won't have up, but you know, he doesn't. Jones always caps Sanu's upper tier value, but I think there's the opportunity there this week for him to have a solid game. I have him down for 5 receptions for 70 yards in my projections. But looking at the air yard screener of the players here, I'm going to hit on Mohamed Sanu first, then Julio Jones. Sanu has had issues obviously with the hamstring, so he missed a game, but started the season going okay in the mid-range off air yards, then started to push his way up with 70 air yards in the next one, but it dropped down against Detroit, and then it obviously fell off considerably as he played against Buffalo, got injured early in that game. But last week, 108 air yards for him, and as I mentioned, a nice healthy target share for him as well. He did finish with a 30% target share, and if you look then with Julio Jones, Jones finished last week's game with a 39% target share. So I mentioned, you know, there's such a funnel of targets going Julio Jones' way, but then obviously it has to go or spread around. They're not spreading it around a huge amount. So 39 for Julio Jones, and then 30, that's, you know, almost, that's 69%. It's almost 70% off the target share going between those two players. So if you're looking at it, obviously you want to have Julio on your team, but a much, much cheaper option is Mo Sanu. And I think this week against the Jets team, where I think if the Falcons want to have success on the road, they're going to have to pass the ball through the air. So Mohamed Sanu was a close second to Tevin Coleman for my play of the week this week, but it went the way of Mo Sanu. And then Julio Jones, obviously I mentioned last week, Julio always dominates in the air yards category. He's up around 100 yards most games, but in week 3 against Detroit, he had 206 air yards, and this past week against the Patriots, 146 air yards. So the targets last week for Julio, 13 targets with an A-dot of 11.2. So Julio, we know what we're getting, but unfortunately it hasn't been what we've wanted to get at the start of the season. But last week, a very, very solid out for him against the Patriots, and I expect him to have another very solid out in this week. But this is a key game for the Atlanta Falcons. You know, a lot of the time you hear the words must win, but if they want to really kick this season off, this is a must win. If the offense doesn't get going this week, it's just a loss this week on the road to the Jets would be a disaster for this Falcons team. I mentioned on the last couple of shows, but the podcast is now up on the individual feed as well as the main RotoViz radio feed. You can find shows up along with me, like the Highlight Reel that I host on many occasions, along with Dave Caban and Neil Dutton. The other shows up there include this show, of course. It also includes the weekly recap show that's up there. Kyle Dvorak doing a great job there with maybe 4 or 5 shows each week, showing a little bit of a segment of each show to get a feel of what we've got going on at RotoViz Radio. And then the other show, of course, is the flagship show, RotoViz Radio, up there with Sean Siegel and Pat Corain. Another fantastic show. One of the best shows in probably the best show on RotoViz Radio. I love listening to it. It's one of my must listens each and every week. So check out the individual feed there with those fantastic shows, and check out obviously the main feed with RotoViz Radio and all our shows there in one simple place. And of course, rate and review the podcast up there. It helps us, bumps us up the ratings, and it is much appreciated. So that's going to do it for the Week 8 edition of the RotoViz Fantasy Football Beat. My name's Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. Until I'm back for the Week 9 edition, have a good one. Thank you for listening to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Beat. Please rate and review the podcast on iTunes or your favourite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter at @RotovizRadio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.